you, Pastor Tim. Thank you, Pastor Kelly, for the opportunity to speak to you guys. Man, God is good. You know, we've been talking about the last few weeks, just about breaking up, really the parable of the sower and just how the different types of soils and that we have in our heart represents the soil. So we've been talking about four particular soils, and it has had to do with like the hard soil. It's had to do with the rocky soil. It's had to do with the weedy soil and the good soil. But today we're going to be talking about the hard soil. Last week, Pastor Tim had talked about just the things that are just hindering us, the things that causes pain and the bad choices that we make. I mean, just really harden our hearts. And then today we're going to look at how we can break that hard soil in our hearts, those areas that it seems like we just can't get over in. But how many times have we seen a new believer begin his Christian life in enthusiasm and commitment? They begin with all this excitement, only to end it weeks or months or years later in failure and defeat. That's how they feel. They feel like, man, you know, you should have seen me in my good old days, man. You should have seen how I used to be. I used to go out and preach to everyone, and I used to go out and talk to people. But then you ask them, what happened? And they're like, well, just things just happened, and, you know, unexpected situations came along, and, well, here I am. You know, and now they're just, it seems like they're not doing anything, or they're just passing by. And my question is, why? Today, the victorious Christian are not easy or too easy to find. Even though the Lord has given us all that pertains to life, there are many who do not use the heavenly tools and continue to live according to their own strength and understanding. One of the best known principles in the science of war is to know your enemy. It is said that when one knows well the tactics of the enemy, the opportunities to emerge victorious increase greatly. In practical terms, we are in a war. And it's not so much a spiritual war as we may think, even though it's a valid concept. But it's a subtle war that has a lot to do with our own desires. To what extent are we willing to follow Christ? If my confession of faith complicates my personal life, what will I do? Those are the kind of questions we need to be asking ourselves. With these questions in mind, we're going to look at what we need to do to keep our hearts softened before the Lord. It's important that we know that you have an enemy. And sometimes we blame it on Satan, but let me tell you, sometimes that enemy is ourselves. You know, it's just us not wanting to do things, not really wanting to pursue the marriage retreat or invest in situations that just come along our way, that the tools that God has given us already. But yet, in some ways, we seem like we just, you know, like Pastor Tim said last week, we just kind of cover our ears and don't want to hear what God is saying. Let's take a look at what Matthew chapter 13, verse 19 says. It says, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and, say it with me, don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. One of the things that caught my attention last week, Pastor Tim didn't use this in his message, but he said it right before. He said, it's really hard to fall in love with something you don't understand. And that caught my attention because I felt like that's the thing that we need to be falling in love with the most, which is the Word of God, which is the message that he's bringing, the areas that he's speaking into our lives. Remember, it's a journey. So it doesn't mean like he's asking you to change or give up certain situations or things in your life right away. Actually, it's a journey. He's going to be asking you, hey, let me be the Lord over this area of your life today. And then a year goes by, and then now it's not that area. Now it's another area. Now let me be the Lord over this area of your life. And it may be your finances at first. And then it may be your friends or acquaintances or relationships. Or it may be a really unhealthy relationship. And God's asking you he's telling you through his word, you know, telling you constantly, hey, let me be the Lord over your life in this area. And as we listen, we begin to grow in our relationship with Jesus. And we begin to realize that it was better for us. That he was right. That he's wanting the best for us. But sometimes it is hard because we want things, and we live in a society where we want things today, now. Lord, I don't want to wait. It takes too long. I feel safe here. For many of us, that word that God is speaking to us is about salvation. Again, salvation from an unhealthy relationship, salvation from a job, or salvation from ending up in jail, from whatever things that are happening. Some of us, it might be the word of healing that God is telling us. You know, he's wanting us to believe him for the healing in areas in our lives. Maybe it may be healing, you know, emotional healing, or it could be physical healing. But he wants to speak into our lives. He wants to say, hey, let me be the Lord. Or it may be the word of protection. Whatever it may be, whatever God wants you to give up, let's say yes and amen to those things that God is speaking to us. You know, sometimes we need a rotor tiller. How many of you guys know what a rotor tiller is? Yeah? Let's put up that image, Manuel. This is what many of us need to be doing today. And many of you guys, you're like, hey, man, this guy is like going. I love this image because it's like, he's not just like passively going. You know what I mean? Some of us need to like dig in there, man. It's just like, man, because it's so hard, right? This image represents many of our hearts. The soil is like so hard that, hey, I need to dig in there. And you can't see it right here, but there's blades underneath that machine. And we're going to be looking at those certain types of blades and the things that we need in our lives to break up the soil of our hearts. How can we till the soil of our hearts so it doesn't become hardened? You know, one of the areas that I believe that we can do all the time is ask. How many of you guys like to ask? Or are you the type of person that's like, I don't need to ask anybody. I can do it on my own. Yeah, that gets us in trouble sometimes because we don't want to humble ourselves. We don't want to say yes and say, God, I need your help. And it's like, no, I got this. I need to work 3 jobs. You know what I mean? Instead of saying, hey, can you just be faithful with what you have? Right? Or I got this. I don't need a marriage retreat. I can handle my woman. You know what I mean? I was trying to do a southern accent. It didn't come out. Anyway. Sorry. No one's here for... never mind. Anyway. So... Well, I don't need marriage. I can handle my husband. You know, he's the one that needs... Anyway, there's just many times we feel like we got this. It's okay to ask. To nudge the person next to you and say, it's okay to ask. But what do we need to ask? Who do we need to ask? Is we need to ask God to help us understand, right? We need to ask God to help us understand. You see, one of the things that David, I believe, knew very well is that he had a God that loved him so much that he could ask him anything. The King David in the Bible. And then, you know, in Psalm chapter 51, verse 10, he says, he asked God, created me, Lord. Actually, he's telling him, Lord, created me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. He's asking God, I need you in my life. Renew me. I don't like the way I am. I don't know if you've been there, but I've been there before. I'm saying, God, I don't like this attitude. I don't like how I'm becoming. Lord, I hate this about me. Can you just change this area of my life? And God is saying, yes. But then as I ask him those to do those things in my life, guess what? He gives me the opportunity to change. And then he'll bring situations in my life where I get tested in those areas that I asked him. And then I have to just be willing to say, okay, God, I'm not going to get angry. I'm going to be patient, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be patient that you've given me. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give me to love those around me. How? Not the way I feel like I need to love them, but the way they're telling me to love them. Because sometimes we get it wrong. We feel like we know the answer and we know how to love them. This is what that guy needs or she needs, or this is what my spouse needs. But the reality is like when you listen and to hear how they want to be loved, you're like, okay, Lord, I need to love them this way. Can you change me in this area? One of the other things that we see is that it's important to understand, because as we ask God to help us understand, we bear fruit when that happens. When we understand the word of God, is we begin to bear fruit. And one of the things that I love is of the church in to the Colossians, Apostle Paul is writing to them, and in chapter 1, verse 6, he reveals to us that it's about understanding that brings fruit in our lives. And he says, the same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing what? Oh, man, I love that. And then he says, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard, say first heard, and understood. Those are the two things that we need. Once we hear, we need to understand the truth about God's wonderful grace. Once we understand the truth about God's wonderful grace, when we first hear, Lord, help me understand. So if you're here today, and it's your first time, I'm encouraging you to ask God, and you're not understanding some of the things I'm saying, say, hey, God, help me understand your truth today. I want to be able to understand it so I can bear fruit. Because if it's bearing fruit everywhere, as the word is being preached, let me tell you that it has the potential, or it has the power to change our lives as well and bear fruit in our own lives. But let me tell you, understanding doesn't come on its own. It doesn't come by itself. It doesn't happen miraculously. It requires us to dig deep. It requires us to read and understand what the word is expecting from us. To spend doing research to figure out how it works. I don't know about you, but the way I understand, you know, most of the times it's by doing. I'm kind of like, I really don't like to read the instructions. I don't know how many of you guys do that. But last time I was at Home Depot, I don't know, for those that know about this and have kids, you know, first Saturday of the month, Home Depot has this activity for kids. And so anyway, my son was reminding me, hey, Dad, we got to go. And here I am. I'm like, oh, man, I got to go. Okay, let's go to Home Depot. Then they give you this little craft, you know, so you can do with your kid. And so I got the craft, and here it comes with instructions, and I'm like, okay. I'm like, sorry, no Nintendo. You know what I mean? You kind of, anyway. So I was like, I don't understand this. And so I turn it over, and I'm like, you know what? Let's just do what the picture says. Yeah? How many of you guys been there? I don't know. So I'm building this thing, and then it's telling you this. I'm like, man, I don't know. How does it work? And then, you know, I ended up with extra parts. Right? And it's kind of like, and then I'm like, I don't think we need this. I'm like, no, Dad, that's what it says, and you need this. And I'm like, I don't think we need this. Next thing you know, the picture frame, that's really what it was a picture frame. You know, one of the things that needed to slide in there, it's like, it's loose, and it's like, Dad, I told you. And then I already glued everything, you know, hammered everything. So here I am, I'm going back to the lady and say, can I have another one? You know what I mean? So then I understood. Then I understood. Yeah, right? I understood afterwards. It's like, you know, it's that saying, you know, trial and error. You know, you do it, and then if it doesn't work, then you're like, okay, now I understand why you need this. And so that's exactly sometimes how we work in our lives. You know, we end up, you know, going and doing things first without reading the instructions. How many of you guys know we have a book full of instructions? It's called the Bible. Amen. So for every area of your life, if you need instructions, hey, read it. But now don't just read it. Understand what it's telling you. Because as you're understanding, you're going to bear fruit. You're going to say, oh, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is what it's supposed to do in my life. And that's how we end up understanding. But if I wouldn't have done originally, I wanted to engage with my son. I needed to do. So understanding doesn't come on its own or by itself. You need to do. It requires energy. It requires you to say, yes, I'm going to spend the time, dig deep, so that I can understand what it's telling me. It's almost like mom used to tell you, you know, when you get older, you'll understand. Yeah. How many of you guys are older and now understand? Yeah. Exactly. It's exactly the same. So that's what we need to do. Understanding is revealed once we put the shovel to the plow. That is, we say yes to the Lord. Okay, let me do this, and then let's try it out. So if you're here today, you've never given God an opportunity to let the word sink in. You know, I'm giving you, I'll challenge you in that and saying, hey, try God's word. do it in your life. I challenge you to just ask God, God, do this for me. Help me understand. And let's just see what God can do. Let's just say, God, what will you do with me? So that's important. It's important. Another thing that we could do to ask, other than asking God to help us understand and to break up the hard soil in our lives, you know, we ask God to help us understand this, is allow God is to saturate the ground of your life, to water the ground, the soil of your life. What are you pouring into your soul? You know, what softens the hard soil if it isn't water? You know, if it isn't what we pour into it. I mean, saying, God, I want to pour into my life. I want you to pour into what you, I mean, I want to pour into my heart what you have asked me to pour into. You know, I don't know if we can go back to the image of the rotor tiller, but what we need in our life is these teeth underneath this machine. Maybe you guys will know, if you guys used one of these, you know, that there's teeth, there's blades underneath there. And these blades, I want you to have this image in your mind that these next three things that I'm going to talk about are a picture of these blades in your life, breaking the hard soil of your heart. If there's any area of your heart that is broken, you can do these three things. They're not the only things you could do, but these three are going to be sufficient for today, just for the message. But hey, guess what? You have the opportunity to go back and dig deep and do it, all right? So we need to be calling on the name of the Lord and saying, God, yes, Lord, help me understand. And if you haven't done so, you know, do it today. But the first thing that we can see that softens hard soil is the word. The word softens our heart. So imagine this blade, the first blade is the word, and it's breaking in there. You know, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, but Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So if it's telling us that we don't live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God, what are we pouring into our soul? Are we pouring the word of God in our hearts? Are we letting God break the soil of our hearts, you know, by hearing the word? Or are we just, you know, pretty much putting our fingers in our ears and not wanting to listen? What are we pouring into our hearts? Saying, God, I want you to be speaking to me, but I want you to speak good things to me. That's how we get sometimes. I'm just going to open my Bible and I'm going to open the promises of God. Praise God. Those are awesome things to do. But God will challenge you not just to live a comfortable life. He'll challenge you to go places you don't want to go. He'll challenge you to say, who will say, here I am, Lord, send me. And then you're just wondering like, man, God, are you speaking to me? And sometimes that feels uncomfortable because you don't want to do it because you know that's what you need to do, but you don't want to do, but you're just resisting God for some reason. You know, I remember one of the things my mom used to always tell me is like, son, you're going to learn by revelation or treacheration. That's what we call it in Spanish. It's almost like, you're going to come to the Lord whether you want to come to the Lord or he's going to chase after you and he's going to bring you back. He's going to bring you back. I'm telling you, that's one of the promises he's giving me. And I'm like, man, mom, why? And I always used to be scared of my mom praying. I don't know about you, but I used to always be scared of my mom praying. I was dating this one girl and then, you know, that relationship wasn't, you know, healthy. And she said, I'm going to start praying. I knew I was going to break up with her. I don't know. I just knew. I knew. I'm telling you, it happens. So the word, you know what I mean? She's saying, because the word says that this is what the word needs to be reflected in your life, and it's not reflected in your life. And she would remind me of God's promises. She's like, remember, son, you're an alien in this earth. You're just here, just going by. You're here to fulfill God's purposes in your life. And we're going to heaven. And then she would remind me of these things. She's like, you know what, son? The Holy Spirit told me to tell you this. And then she would tell me the word. And I was like, oh, man, I don't want to hear it. Because guess what? Every time I wanted to do something bad, guess what was in the back of my mind? The Holy Spirit reminded me the word and breaking that harsh soul. I didn't want to. And it's like, man, I can't even sin right. You know, this is it stinks. That's how it was. So God can do that. So moms, are you here? You know, dads, are you here? You know, if you have a troubled son or a troubled daughter, let me tell you, pray for them. Speak to them the word. Remind them of what God called them to do. That word will chase them. I'm telling you, it chased me. And so then she's told me, he's like, son, either you fall on the rock or the rock's going to fall on you. And I was like, oh, man. And I was like, you know, it's like. So here, you know, the Holy Spirit's reminding me. It's like, oh, man, here. It's like, man. And so I didn't listen. And guess what? Yeah, that was broken. There were things in my life that didn't have to happen. But guess what? The Lord still in his mercy and his love chased after me and embraced me and said, yes, brought me back because of his word. His word broke that soul up in my heart. Another thing that we can do is worship. So that's one blade, you know, imagine that, the rotor tiller in your heart, you know, the word of God breaking up the soil of your heart, you know, the hard soil of your heart. The other thing is that we could worship. You know, we had talked about this, you know, at the beginning of service, and then also Pastor Tim brought it up right now before transitioning, which is, you know, worship is everything we do in response to God, amen, to what he has done, you know, who he is, what he has done, and what he's doing right now. That's really what it is, and so that can take shape in a way of our finances, in song, but one of the areas that I love is just like, you know, how the song, the King David, the psalmist, says it in Psalm chapter 63, verse 1. And he says this, you, God, are my God. And he's worshiping God, you know, with writing this psalms, this song. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Imagine that. Imagine how the, you know, King David was feeling in that moment. He's like, Lord, I long for you. Like, if it was, like, if I'd been thirsty for hours, this is how I long for you. And then he goes on to say in chapter 42, verse 1, says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Have that picture in your head for a moment. It's like, Lord, I need to seek after you. You are the only one that can satisfy me. And so he's telling God, and he's worshiping God in song. He's saying, God, this is what I need from you, Lord. It's important that we understand that worship, you know, I don't know about you, but as we worship God, as we worship this morning, man, I was like, wow, the Holy Spirit was just touching at my heart, and he's just tugging, reminding me of his promises, you know, the things that he wants to do in my life. And I'm saying, God, yes, do those things in my life. I want you to do these things in my life. And he's breaking up that soil as we worship. As we lift our hands, as we sing in song. You know, I was getting a haircut this weekend. Thank you, Ernie, man. We were just talking. Then somebody comes in, you know, in his barbershop. And, you know, somebody has been coming to the barbershop for a while. And he's, you know, acquainted Ernie. And it's just been, like, talking to him. And then he presents me to this guy. And he says, hey, you know what? I want you to know this guy. And then he starts sharing with me his testimony of how he came to the Lord. And, you know, he happens to actually had met the Lord in a Foursquare church down in Huntington Beach. And it was awesome. I was like, oh, man, that's so cool. I know Hope Chapel and all this stuff. Anyway, it was really cool because I felt like I was, you know, talking to family. And so anyway, it was as he was sharing with me, he says, you know, his story about he'd been broken and just, you know, doing drugs and whatnot. And just, and then all of a sudden he starts telling me that when he went to this church, you know, he had asked to speak to the pastor, and they brought in the young adults pastor instead of the main pastor. And he's like, man, I felt kind of like, hey, where's the pastor, you know, and whatnot. But this guy was leading them to Jesus. This young adults pastor was leading them to Jesus. And then he starts sharing with him the word. And then all of a sudden, as he goes to service one time, he's like, man, somebody invited me to service. And I sat there and I heard the message. And as I left that building, the message kept resonating in my heart. And then he's telling me, he's like, I used to grow plants. And I was like, what kind of plants? You know? Anyway, so. And I'm like, you know, flower plants or what kind of plants? You know, he's like, no, the kind that, you know, you distribute. And I'm like, wow, which ones are those? Anyway. I don't understand what you're telling me. He's speaking to me in parables. What's he talking? So he's sharing with me his story, but he's telling me obviously there were, you know, marijuana plants. And anyway, just to clear that up. And then he goes in and he's saying he was making the juice. That's what he called it. You know, he's making the juice to feed his plants. And here I am talking about the parable of the seed. You know what I mean? Here we go. Anyway, so he's telling me this whole process that he had to do. And but then he says that, you know, he kept on, this message just kept on resonating in him, that he ended up putting in his iPhone Pandora. You know, he said, look, he's like, I don't even know who to search for. He's like, I just put Christian songs in there. And then he says that, amazing love, how can it be? You know, and that old song came up. And then he says he started hearing this song, and he starts weeping. The guy started weeping, man. He's like, oh, man, I was just broken. And I was like, man, I got to stop doing what I'm doing. Imagine this. I mean, this guy's like, I don't know. I could only imagine, you know, pouring. And it's like, oh, you know what I mean? Here we go. You know, he's like just crying before the Lord. God can meet you anywhere, I'm telling you. God can meet you anywhere you are in your life. He doesn't care. He can go to the dirtiest places that you can even imagine, and he'll bring you out of that. So let me tell you this. The end of the story is that he surrenders his life. He leaves that business, and he says, man, he goes back to their young adults pastor, says, he was on the run for a while, and anyway, he goes in. He has his whole change, his experience. He was on the run for a year. He goes back to his probation officer, says, I need to go ahead and turn myself in. I just need to go ahead and do things right. I'm telling you, things started like bang, bang. He's like, I got to just give all this stuff up. That's what God will do. And so he breaks up the soil of our hearts, not just with the word, but he, you know, in song, as you hear the song, you're like, man, God, you love me. You know, how could it be that your son, died for me and my sins and things like, imagine, and he's like, so he's being cleansed, man. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So here I am. I'm like pumped. I'm like, man, yeah, that's that, like my story, you know, and I start sharing with him my story as well. And so God will meet you where you are. All you need to do is be willing to surrender and say, yes, Lord. So you may be here today and you say, man, I've tried. I've tried many times. I've tried to surrender my life many times, but it just hasn't happened. Let me tell you, God's going to chase you. He's going to go after you because he loves you. And just whenever he tells you, put in a song like this guy was feeling. Put in a song. Plug this up. You know, just be obedient. I believe it was the Holy Spirit prompting his heart, telling him, hey, you got to search for this. Because he says he'll guide us to all truth, right? The Holy Spirit. So as we are guided by his Spirit, whatever he's telling you to do, do it, because God's going to meet you where you are. Whether it's, you know, again, one of those blades is worship. As we worship God, there's something that happens to us as we worship. When we declare who God is, what he has done, what he's doing right now, something begins to change. The soil begins to break. Things become soft. We may not be able to explain it, but our spirit man begins to receive and be broken and bent in adoration before our Creator and saying, God, you're the only thing I need. What are we pouring into our hearts? The Word tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. But let me tell you that doubt also comes by hearing, and hearing the lies of the enemy. So if you're here today and you say, I've tried many times and it won't happen to me, that's a lie. The enemy wants you to believe. Grab a hold of his word and grab a hold of his promises and declare who he is, what he has done, and what he's doing right now in your life. Let me tell you, things are going to begin to break in your life. Things are going to begin to show up in your life that you never thought they would. As you put your trust in him, God will begin to break those things in your life and say, God, I'm surrendering to you. Who will you choose to listen to today? Let his presence break every area, hard area of your life. Let him be the Lord of your heart. One of the last things I want to talk about today is just the water. Another thing that we could do is that softens our hearts is, well, water. You know, we all know that it's been raining lately. And what does the rain do? I'm grateful for the rain. I don't have to spend a dime on water. You know what I mean? So it's like, God, thank you. But everything becomes green. But also the soil becomes soft. So soft. I mean, it's just, you know, we get to see these things happening, like the mudslides and things that are happening around, you know, California because of the rain. But it softens our hearts. So what are you pouring into? You know, I want to talk to you about certain things, you know, that we could go ahead and do and that represent the water. Baptism is one of them. You know, Acts chapter 22, verse 16 says, you know, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord. Again, you know, we're talking about asking God and having our sins washed away. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I can't overcome this area of my life. Maybe you need to take that next step in your journey with the Lord. Maybe you put your trust in him, but you haven't been baptized. Today is your chance. We have a class after the service in the courier room. You can get to say yes to the Lord in baptism and say, I want to commit myself to the Lord. I want to say yes to what he is telling me to do. Today is an opportunity you get. So as baptism, you know, not baptism represents us dying to ourselves and rising again in a new creation in the Lord and saying yes to God, to the new things that he has for our lives. Maybe you've been here for a while. You've said, you know, I've never done that, but today is your day. Today is your day. Ask God to forgive you of those sins, of those areas, those hard areas, and say yes to the Lord again. Another scripture that I love, and I found this scripture, is Hebrews 10, verse 22. It says, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully, what does it say? Fully trusting him. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. Yeah. Oh, so good. So good. Let me tell you that the Christ's blood sprinkled saying, hey, Lord, I need you to not just, see, not just cover my sin. It's not about covering your sin. It's about washing it away. It's about taking it completely, wiped away, taken off your life. And this is what God can do through his blood, is wash you from any iniquity, anything that you may be going through in life, and saying, God, I want you to give me a second chance. I want you to do this in my life, Lord. Any guilty conscience. I don't know about you, but every time, you know, we end up sinning, we have guilt in our lives. Yeah? Man, I shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? Darn it. Man, you know, I got angry again. I got, you know what I mean? I yelled at my kids. I did this or whatever. I mean, just things that happen in our lives. You know, I looked at this thing that I wasn't supposed to. I said this that I wasn't supposed to. And we get caught up, but you know what? Let me tell you that every time we go before the Lord, he says, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. You know why we need to trust him? Because he loves us. And we can go in confidence. We can go with sincere hearts before his presence and say, God, I messed up again. Or I messed up today. Lord, help me overcome this area of my life. Lord, I know I'm not perfect, but you are. And thank you for that blood that was shed for me, because through that blood, I am made righteous. I am made whole. I have everything I need. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for busting up the hard soil of my heart. You know, one of the things that we need to do is be willing to pay that price. To do whatever it takes to say yes to God and to his presence. To sacrifice those areas that we don't want to sacrifice. Make it your consuming passion. It can't just be, oh, Lord, I know you want me. No. Lord, I want it all. I want everything. Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and 46 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. That one, the Lord is that great pearl. It's like saying, Lord, I'm willing to give it all for you, Lord. I'm willing to say yes to you. Lord, I want that ground to be broken in my life. Be preparing my heart for that word. Lord, humbling myself before your presence and worship. Lord, engaging in you and having you have all my full attention. Lord, because I want to see this word that you have said that you would do in my life, Lord, bear fruit. I don't want it just to grow in my life. I don't want it just to have the appearance of health, Lord. I want it to bear fruit. I want that others would say, yes, I want what he has. I want what you have discovered in your own life. God, can you give me what he has, Lord? And let me tell you that as we ask, he's willing to give it to you. God is willing to give you anything that you ask him, saying, if you believe, Lord, yes, I believe. Lord, I want it all. I want what you have given that person. Let me tell you, we all could bear fruit. We could all bear fruit. Tell the person next to you, you just need to dig a little deeper. We have the responsibility. I love this picture. Once again, man, if you don't mind putting that picture up, we need to get behind these three areas. We need to get behind. See, no one's going to break it up for you. No one's going to say, force you to do anything. You and I need to say yes to those things in our lives. We need to say yes to the word. We need to say yes to worship. We need to say yes to that water that cleanses us from all those things. We need to allow God to show us that he is all that we need. That when everything else falls apart, we can depend in these areas and saying, God, you're going to break these areas in my life. One of the main reasons we question many of the things that God has promised us is because we have not yet seen the measure of his worth. What he's worth. Many of us say, no, I want to keep this in my life because this is I work hard for this. You don't understand. But God is saying, am I greater than that? Do you value me more than what you have, your possessions? Once we know that God is all we need, we will know that all our needs are met at the foot of the cross. And saying yes to God. We cannot begin to follow Jesus. We're not willing to surrender to what he is asking us to surrender. Because we need to take up our cross every day and say, yes, I'm going to do this today. You may be here this morning and your heart is probably pumping because you know God has been speaking to you this past week about surrendering, about getting right with him. And that you need to get behind these practices and habits that will begin to break the hardness of your heart. Maybe you're here today and God is already speaking to you and saying, that's you, man, or that's you, daughter, or that's you. Who is it today that God is speaking to? If it's you today, I want to encourage you to surrender everything that has been tugging at your heart this week, whether it's a illness, whether it's a need, you know, in finances, relationships, whatever it is, God is asking you to give up. Maybe it's your own comfort. Maybe God's been speaking to you about serving in an area, maybe about going out and talking to your neighbor, you know, reaching out, sending some cookies, at least to begin engaging to your neighbor. I don't know what it is that God has been speaking to you, but you've been afraid and saying, I don't want to do these things because what if this, what if that? Yesterday, I was reminded of the neighborhood I live in. You know, the neighborhood I live in is not the particularly most safest neighborhood, but God, I remember as he was speaking to our lives, Veronica and I, as we were looking to buy our home, I'm very particular about the place that I want my kids to grow up, you know, and as we were searching for our home, we went to this neighborhood, and I said, no, this is not the neighborhood we're going to go to. This is not, because it's not safe. I just knew. I mean, I grew up there. I said, hey, I know what's up. I know the neighborhood. I know the hood, you know? And so it was kind of like, I don't want to go there. But I remember God speaking in my heart and saying, like, who's going to reach these people for me? And I felt like, God, if this is you, you got to give me peace. I was like, come on, you know, you can at least give me peace about it. And boom, there's like peace over. I was like, okay, God, I don't want this peace. You know what I mean? So it was so miraculous because many of you guys heard the stories of the things that I've encountered with my neighbors. Just because of reaching out, just saying yes to what God is speaking to us and loving on our neighbors. But let me tell you, I love my neighborhood. I love the place that God has placed me. We're not done yet there. You know, we started talking about, like, well, every time there's another incident, like, is it time, Lord? Is it time for us to move? And God's saying, no, you're not done yet. But I'm like, okay, well, God, every time God has had his hand of covering and protection over us. And I was sharing that story with someone that's wanting to purchase a home this week. And he's like, oh, they're moving from out of town and they want to come in here and they're looking. He's like, oh, well, you know the neighborhoods, which ones are safe or not. And it was funny because I said, you're talking to the wrong guy. I felt like, why are you asking me? I said, let me tell you my story. And I shared with them my story. I said, it doesn't matter where God sends you. If he's telling you to go there, go there. Because as you go there, his hand of covering and grace and favor will be all over you. And as you fulfill God's promise and the things that he's called you to do in your life, people are going to be blessed by your hand because God is with you. And when God is with us, his presence is with us, not just, we don't just get blessed, it's those that are around us that get blessed as well.